simple. It's not complex. It's straightforward. Yeah? And they're going out just sharing a simple gospel message, but the hand of the Lord is on that message in a fresh way. And they're seeing hundreds respond on the streets in the UK. There was over 3,000 people that responded, made decisions on the streets in Wales over a period of 3 weeks recently. And so I want to encourage you with that, that there's a stir, there's a challenge to awakening in the church. The second reason why that we need to read this book, and it's good for us, it's relevant, is because individually, if we're all honest, we're all like Jonah. We all struggle at times with what God is calling us to set to do and where He's telling us to go or who He's calling us to share the gospel with. We have a tendency to pick and choose what we want to obey, especially when it requires us to step out of our comfort zone or off the treadmill that we're used to. And or we avoid or question, is this really You, Lord? But the wonderful story about Jonah, friends, is that God is committed to using you. That's probably one of the main themes of God. God is committed. He commits to using Jonah. Despite, first of all, when God says go, He says no. God's committed. So it's an amazing story that actually describes in four short chapters how God actually deals with him, with his people, in partnering with them. Third reason that we need to be aware of this is because it relates to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself quoted Jonah in his ministry, yeah? As a sign to the Pharisees. The Pharisees said, show us a sign of supernatural. He said, there'll be one sign given, like the prophet Jonah, who was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the earth 3 days and three nights, and all rise from there. And so Jesus validates Jonah as a prophet. He validates the story as set it in its historical frame and said, actually, this story's got much to teach us in terms of the ministry of Jesus as well. The way he, who are the problem people in Jesus' ministry? Who are the people he had the most problem with? The Pharisees, the religious people. And Jonah is a type of those guys as well. Where actually he has problems with God actually wanting to reach out to outsiders, to the people outside of Israel. But the fourth reason is the most important reason. I've left it till last as we really move into this today, to the first two verses just now. And the fourth reason that this book is so relevant to us now is because of the primary, the main character in the story. Who's the main character in the story, Joe? The Lord. Yahweh. Yahweh is mentioned 26 times in the book of Jonah. Yeah. The Lord is the main character. And from the very first verse, the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. See, Yahweh means the self-existent God. It's from the Hebrew means to be. It's the one who was and is to come. And so, the most important person in this narrative is God himself. And we learn more about him than anybody else. And three things quickly we learn about him. We learn that he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Jonah tries to run from him, foolish Jonah. Thinks he can run from God, and actually just runs into God everywhere. Because you can't run from God, he's everywhere. Aren't you glad God's everywhere?
Yeah.
In every circumstance. In every situation, he's there. I remember one time in South Africa, we were going on holiday as a family. We were taking a bit of a break. We were traveling down from Johannesburg to a place called Ballito, which is about 600 kilometers journey. And we were having a few problems with our car, the Camry, on the journey. Had to stop a couple of times. And anyway, we didn't get anywhere near Ballito. We stopped, the car came to a grinding halt at about 5:45 in the evening, and the sun was rapidly going down, as it does in Africa. The girls were fairly young in those days, and got two children on the back, and we don't know pretty much where we are. We're near a place called Moy River, Moy means pretty, but it's not a very pretty place, I can tell you. And And so you're in Africa, sun's going down quickly, two children on the back, it's dark, it's getting dark very quickly, and you know, what do we do? Cars come to a grinding halt, we're many miles away from our destination. And I remember that we've already traveled probably about 400 kilometers. And I remember there's a church in Howick, which was another hour down the track. So I had a telephone number with that guy, and I said to him, I've got a feeling there may be a new church planted in this area. So I phoned Neil and I said, but this is a situation, we've broken down, engines packed up, is there anybody nearby? He said, we just sent out a guy recently to plant in the river, I'll give him a call. Within 5 minutes, he was there. It turns out, where we parked on the side of the road, his farm, or where it was, his homestead, was less than a mile from where we broke down. He came down, we were also near to the slip road, he reversed down the slip road, hooked up the camera, took us back. Within 20 minutes, we were safely in his house, bedded down the We went back to that church many times after that to God's appointment. Aren't you glad God is everywhere? Mm. We should be glad He's present everywhere. Mm. And He does amazing things for us. He's omnipresent. And Jonah could be glad He was everywhere, even when he was running from Him. But then he's not only everywhere, he's all powerful. Yeah, we see that in the book of Jonah. He controls waves, he controls whales, he controls the weather, and he controls worms. He's in charge of all creation. This is God. This is Yahweh. He's in total charge. He can do anything. Amen. That's good news too. He can do anything. Nothing too difficult, nothing too far-reaching. He can do anything. And then thirdly, He knows everything. The theologians call that He's omniscient. So He's not only omnipresent, but omnipowerful, omnipotent. He knows everything. Did you know that God cannot learn? But don't you feel sorry for Him, because He already knows. He knows everything. Everything. Everything about you, everything about me, everything about your marriage, everything about Nineveh and its wickedness, everything about the condition of my heart. You think, well, that's scary. No, that's good news. Because actually, who wants to worship a God who isn't like that? God knows everything. God never misfires. He never errs. He's perfect in what He purposes and what He permits. What He purposes is right, and what He permits is right. We're going to discover more of that in the book of Jonah. Jenny recently went for an interview a couple of Fridays ago, and it was kind of her band up on where she's, promotion being in the last almost 2 years of work. So we were praying and things like that, and sent her a couple of scriptures and really trusting God for just God's favor, as you do. And she phoned us later in the day, after the interview, she said, went really well, we'll just see what happens. So there's only three of them. But again, this has happened a few times, she came second. Didn't get the job. And they said to her, and she heard this a few times, you were so close, we hardly could tell the difference between the two of you, just the other guy had more experience. She came home that night, and I mean, she texted her saying she's fine, she's happy with it. So this is what she said to me. She said she committed it to God. I know God is in control, He has the right move. The right one for me, or the right move at the right time for me. And yet, why I tell that story? Because God's number one, she's not afraid to be number two. You can trust it. His time is perfect. His ways are perfect. Yeah? And I want to encourage you. He doesn't misfire. He doesn't hurt. And this Yahweh wants to partner with you and with me. The story of the camera, the camera that broke down, there's a whole tale to that as well, which I'll probably talk a bit more about in this series, because God taught me a lot of lessons through that car broke down many times. And it was a good car. God taught a lot of lessons to me in my heart, you know, about things that cause breakdown. Not just in a vehicle, but here. He was training me. But I remember after we'd had some fellowship with that couple in the farm at Moira River, in the house at Moira River, I remember going to bed like that, that night and saying these words to God, God, how could I ever not trust you? Yeah. See, he's everywhere. He's all powerful. And he knows everything. But I want to just say this. He's all loving. That's what the book of Jonah is about. It's about everybody needs compassion. So let's just read the first two verses of the book of Jonah. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, yuck, that great city, cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. See, this short bit of scripture is like a cameo, not just of the book of Jonah, but of the whole Bible, the way that God works. I've entitled this message this morning, I know I'm going to be running it next time, and I've entitled it Running with the Lord. Because Jonah ran from the Lord, but actually in these first two verses are the ingredients that God says, come and run with me. Yahweh's invitation this morning to us afresh, the one who's everywhere, the one who can do anything, the one who's all powerful, and the one who loves your neighbor and loves your work colleague and loves everyone, is he's saying, run with me in this season. Run with me. Now I know this. Jesus walked everywhere, and so we do walking with God. But there's a sense of arise and go. Step off the treadmill of our lives and step into the lane with God afresh. Yeah? How do we do that? Let me just give you an overview here, because I think that's the way it's going this morning. There's three things that God does here. He speaks to Jonah. He sends Jonah because he sees the Ninevites. Got that? You get that? You get the message today. God speaks. God sends because he sees. Everything flows out of what he sees. He's all seeing, all knowing. Do you know that he sees the heart of your neighbor? He sees the heart of your work colleague. He sees the hopelessness in the heart of a widow who's lonely and has lost her husband. And he wants to stir our hearts with what he sees, because he feels things when he sees things. Amen. I've got right at the end of my message when I said that. That was the conclusion of my message. He sees things. That's the motivation thing. He sends and he speaks because he sees. You see, when I said earlier that this is a message for the church, God wants the church to be a seeing church, a prophetic church, seers. And from the oldest to the youngest, we can be a seer. Now, today's the day of Pentecost that we're celebrating. And on that day, it was a watershed in history. It was a watershed in God's purposes on the earth. When the Holy Spirit came down, and what's it saying? They started to prophesy. That was the difference. It wasn't just they spoke in tongues, but those tongues were understandable to many people who God saw their hearts and wanted to save them. And so he released the Holy Spirit to release the prophetic voice through the church again. No longer one person as a prophet, but the whole company filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the fire of God, where the boiler room was, where all the flames were at the same level. God's been highlighting that again through this time of prayer and fasting. He doesn't want just, you know, a little flicker here and then a massive flame there. All of us at the same level. Why? Because it's the same Holy Spirit who's in us that raised Jesus from the dead, that he ascended on high, and he poured out on A-double-L all. Amen. Wonderful to hear. I'm just flowing this one. Wonderful to hear testimonies on the life and the life group on Thursday from Lorraine, Doreen in her prayer, and Dee. Testimonies of ministry flowing out. Care for a neighbor. A word over the phone to a work colleague. Stepping out. Yeah, over the phone. I love it. So that takes courage, but folk, the Holy Spirit has been poured out on you and in us to get off the treadmill and start running with the King. Start running with Yahweh, not just with your buddy or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or my wife. Then just mind on. Running with God. The whole thing about what Paul says, walk in step with the Holy Spirit. Release the fire in you. People are going to hellfire because the fire has been contained in the leaves. And God's saying, away to the wonder of what you have received. And the power and the love and the beauty so you can dish it up and dispense it and share it and give it away to others. So the first thing here is God speaks. And this is where it all starts. This is where it all starts. Now, I've actually skipped a couple of verses here. The only other time that Jonah is mentioned, I'm going to go to this actually, the only other time Jonah is mentioned is in 2 Kings 14. If we are able to put that up, please, guys. This again validates Jonah's history. He was around at the time of King Jeroboam the second, who was a king in Israel from 730 to 780 BC. This is what it says about the only time. Notice the pattern here, and notice the call. Jeroboam II, son of Jehoash, began to rule over Israel in the 15th year of King Amaziah's reign in Judah. He remained in Samaria 41 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight with an evil king. He refused to turn from the sins of idolatry that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had led Israel to commit. However, this king, this evil king, recovered the territories of Israel between Lebo Hamath and the Dead Sea from invaders, from people who invaded that territory, enemies. God gave him power to do that, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had promised. Through whom? Through Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet, from Gath Hepher. By the way, Gath Hepher is in the Galilee region, where Jesus was raised. But why did all that come about? For the Lord saw. Say with me, the Lord saw the bitter suffering of everyone in Israel. These enemies that had crossed the border, they were messing things up in the nation. The king was evil. He wasn't following the Lord's ways, but the Lord, in his compassion towards his people, spoke to a prophet and communicated to a king, and the Lord empowered that evil king to vanquish their enemies
and to secure their borders. That's basically what happens there. And so it's the same pattern. And so the Lord comes to Jonah sometime later. So Jonah is not unfamiliar with being used as a prophet. He knows God's voice. And the big problem of the book of Jonah is just that. He knows it's God that's speaking. But I want to say to us this morning, I want to challenge us with this. I'm just going to focus on this morning. Everything begins with hearing God's voice. And I want to encourage you. Yeah, I learned an interesting fact recently. That in the natural, the sense of hearing is the first sense that is actually developed with a baby in the womb. They say that a baby 5 months in utero can hear her or his mother's voice. And it's an incredible bonding effect. We also know, don't we, it's probably the last sense to go. When people are comatose, we had Gilbert many years ago who was comatose, but he could hear when we prophesied over him, when we prayed over him, faith and power, and God raised him up from death. See, hearing is vital for life. It's vital. You will only speak what you hear. There's a... More than half a century ago, Dr. Alfred Tomatis was confronted with the most curious case in his 50-year career as an otolaryngologist. How's that for a tongue twister? An opera singer had lost his ability to hit certain notes well that was within his vocal range. He'd been sent to multiple ENT specialists who all thought there was a vocal problem. Using a sonometer, Dr. Tomatis discovered that even an average opera singer produced 140 decibel sound at a meter's distance. That's a lot of sound. That's slightly more than a military jet taking off on an aircraft carrier. And the sound is even louder in your skull. And that discovery led to a diagnosis that the opera singer had been deafened by the sound of his own voice. And his selected deafness produced selected muteness. If you can't hear a particular note, you can't sing it either. The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. The voice can only reproduce what the ear can hear. Understand again? The voice, this is important, can only reproduce what the ear can hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so there's a theme right through the Bible. Isaiah says, incline, well, the Lord says to Isaiah, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. Proverbs says, a wise man will hear and increase living. So, and then Jesus says, in the parable of the parable of the ears, which is the parable of the sower, how we hear. Everyone hears, but the way we hear determines whether we're fruitful or not. And he says, to him who has ears to hear, more will be given. To him who does not have ears to hear, even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. See, hearing is key, hearing the voice of God. Why is that key to fruitfulness and fellowship and joy in life? Because actually, the voice of God brings peace. The voice of God creates love. The voice of God brings joy. The voice of God produces the supernatural. The voice of God gives hope. The voice of God causes things to birth. When you were born, you and I were born again. How were we born again? Where did faith come from? The Bible says it came by hearing. Like that baby 5 months in utero, bam! Whose voice is that? It's your mother's voice. When God sent a prophet into my world, who happened to be my brother, I heard a voice, and it wasn't my brother's voice. It was the voice of the Lord, and faith came into my heart. Amen. So how are we doing on hearing the voice of God? I'm just going to do a couple of things on this for the devil. How are we doing on hearing the voice of God? Because actually, everything in life, hope, joy, peace, love, fruitfulness, our effectiveness when we go out from here today is determined by that. Is the word of the Lord coming to me through the word? Yeah? So firstly, how can I tune in to his frequency more? Because Yahweh, remember, wants to partner with you. And that's it. Isn't that gobsmackingly amazing? He wants to speak to you, walk with you, show you. And it's fun. I mentioned earlier that God's... Okay, I won't get out of it. Sidetrack. A few practicals. How do we remove some of these filters? How do we see what is the loudest voice in your world right now? Are you being deafened by your own self-talk? Like the opera singer. Are there notes that you're missing in terms of speaking? Because actually, the negative self-speak, the negative talk that you are speaking to yourself is drowning out the voice of your loved one who said, come to me. Let me show you. Let me take you forward. Leave the past behind. I forgive you. Spaces and places to adventure together. Is the voice of criticism drowning out the voice of God? Is the voice of the devil and his condemnation and his lies? Are we listening to that? So we actually believe the lie and we actually live on the treadmill because he's telling us this is your identity and we believe it. Father's saying, step off that treadmill. You're a son. You're a royal son. You're a royal daughter. I've not called you to live on the treadmill, much less going on a roundabout in circles. I'm going to take you into a future. What's the loudest voice? So, how do I tune in? Firstly, set time. Set a time to be alone with God. We've been encouraging the marriage couples today. The thing that actually sets up a relationship right at the core is that you make time for each other. If we don't make time for each other, all the rest won't happen. Communication will go. Intimacy will go. Partnership will go. It's the same with our relationship with God. Yahweh wants to partner with us. The one who calls the stars by name. Notice what it says. The word of the Lord came to the son of Anton. When was the last time you heard the Father whisper? Tip. Used to be thanks for that. Fine. Holy Spirit.
describes him as your forever friend. God on the inside. Intimacy. Called you by name. Create a set time to be alone with him. That's the first thing. You know, when Lynn and I were courting, I didn't think, oh no, another 3 hours with Lynn. Get, bring it on! You know, this is the woman of my life. Come into my life. I want to spend time. Yahweh invites you to come in. The one who not only calls the stars by name, but made each one. All the trinkets that this world offers, that's trinkets of money, the trinkets, the gadgets, they are all like utter rubbish compared to love. And Yahweh says, you know, the ultimate revelation that Jesus brought God to his disciples was Abba. To become your daddy. Yahweh who is in heaven is your daddy. And it blew them away. They struggled with it because a Jew can't even pronounce the name because it's so reverential to them. But that's the revelation. He wants to speak to you. Secondly, not only set time, but establish your own whispering spot. A.W. Tozer said this, God is always whispering. We just need to get silent enough to hear. God speaks the loudest when we get the quietest. You know, I was interested to see that the word whisper in the dictionary means using one's breath without one's vocal cords. Why does God whisper to us? Because he wants us to get up close and personal. And it's interesting. He wants us to feel it. Speak to us. You know, when God, that's what Adam felt. God breathed into Adam. Breathed into him. He walked with God in the cool of the night. Living, dynamic, whispering, intimate relationship. It was interesting yesterday, wasn't it? For those of you who were, you know, praying and looking at this thing of Viking come. The theme yesterday was silence. I don't know if you looked at any, there's two videos there, very powerful, on the power of silence. You know, silence, there's many things, it's mentioned many times in Scripture. Not just one or two, many times. Be still and know, be silent before the Lord, and worship Him, many times. But silence, let me learn to practice silence, that's actually this morning in prayer. And that whole thing of listening to me, I didn't know what I was preaching on this morning, but it's all about hearing God each time, tuning in to God's voice. God speaking wants us to reach in. But silence is an act of awe before God. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, when you come into the presence of God, let your words be few. Jesus says, the Father has secrets to share with you. Close the door behind, come into your own room, close the door behind you. It's one on one with your Father. It's one on one with your Heavenly Father. Silence is an act of awe before God, but it's also important. But what I want to highlight, it's an act of war against competing voices.
And we learn to tune in to God as we learn to tune out to the world and ourselves. Because I want to encourage you to listen to those two videos yesterday when we go home today. The one to the lady who spoke to the young people said this. She said, when you get alone with God and your purpose is to be with God, just to be with God, and let Him speak through the Word. Let the Word speak, read the Word, let Him speak, and are silent before Him. You have a myriad of voices that are coming in that moment as you seek to be silent. And she said, generally the dominant voice is yourself. To-do list, what do I need to do today? Where am I going? You know, I need to text that guy, I need to make that appointment. Isn't that so? That's it. And so she said, we need to push through and press in and go through. And that's something that each one of us learns on our own. And but I want to say that actually there's no greater purpose, no greater joy than actually pressing in to hear the Lord's voice. And the more you do it, practice, which is also something that Reg mentioned this morning, the more you do it, the more you press into Him quicker. Or the more you get attuned to His voice. Roy has this lovely saying, and he swings his legs out of bed in the morning and he senses the presence of God. What? What's that about? It's about practice. It's about an expectation. It's about faith. He knows God is everywhere. He knows God is in him. And he knows God is with him. How many of us all know that? To meet with us when we step out of bed in the morning. He's been with us the whole night. And He wants to speak to us. Set aside, establish your own whispering spot, learn how to deal with distracting voices. I've shared this before, I'll just share it quickly with you again. Somebody once said that distracting thoughts are like bad kids in the classroom. When you throw them out of the class, they start throwing stones at the windows. In other words, it gets worse. Instead, you should keep them in the class and get them to channel their energies in a more constructive way. In other words, when your thoughts drift to all sorts of things, you know, for example, my boss is giving me a hard time at work. Bring that thought to the Lord and say, Lord, you're my ultimate boss. Help me with this situation. Mm-hmm. Or if your thought's drifting to you're going on holiday and it's drifting to the beach, you know, and if a couple of weeks time, whatever it may be, bring that thought back and say, Lord, actually, you are the water of life. You're the one who actually gives life. And I want to just get in this space with you right now. In other words, wherever thoughts may drift to, bring it back. Use the thought, bring it back in. Don't bring it in. I'm not getting anywhere. The invitation has come. You've responded to it. Just bring the thought back. Let God speak. Keep at it. Pursue it. Pursue His voice. Where there's a desire, there will be a delight if we actually keep at it and discipline ourselves, establish the practice. And then finally, we're going to finish with this, just in terms of hearing God's voice. Go out each day with a mobile expectation. Mobile expectation. Yeah? Just go out with expectation. Because the purpose of meeting God in one place is actually going to go out and walk with Him everywhere. Yeah? Amen. because he's with you. He's speaking God. Have an expectation. So Psalm 25, put the Bible, let's just finish with this morning. Psalm 25. I'm going to read verse 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait. I look to all the day. See, this thing of waiting on God. David, and that's the Psalm of David. David talks about waiting on God throughout the Psalms. Waiting, beholding his beauty. This one thing I do. That's the one thing. This is the one thing out of everything else for us. In his presence, hearing his voice. David says in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have desired. Desire alone is not enough. I desire it, that I will pursue it, I'll seek after it. I'm going to make it a practice that I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That means in the presence of God. I will dwell, beholding the beauty of the Lord and inquiring at his temple. It's a beautiful scripture. All the days of my life, he says, I will do it. When you inquire of somebody, you ask questions of them. It's okay to ask questions of God. It's okay to, if I can use the phrase, vomit out your feelings of anger with God. It's okay. He knows them anyway. He wants you to be honest with him and walk with him and let him flow through you everywhere you go, because he can do anything through you. Yahweh invites us into this partnership. And can I just say this in conclusion, that God doesn't just speak through the Word. The primary source is Scripture, but in Scripture, it teaches us he speaks in a variety of ways. God speaks through creation. I was looking out the window early in the prayer meeting, looking at the wind blowing through those leaves, God spoke to me. God speaks through creation. It's an adventure. I remember years ago when we went down, I'm not sure if it was the same time, where we were on holiday in Belize, I think. We were sitting now in Belize, you don't normally see these things, but we've heard that from time to time they saw them. And so the girls are smaller, and one of them said, "Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw a whale?" And you don't normally see whales at Belize. In the other parts of South Africa, you see whales. So we said, "Well, let's pray. Ask God to show us a whale." I mean, we have a prayer of our meeting around our hours. We didn't, I can't remember the time, span. Yeah, we've seen dolphins, and somebody said, "Oh, we only wanted to see well." Within an hour, we saw this thing glowing. God, Yahweh, who controls everything, is everywhere, put on a show for us. You say, "Well, what's that got to do with the Great Commission of seeing people say everything?" Because he is right there with you wherever you are. Not just to show you where this or that, but to show you stuff, to speak to you so you can actually engage with people and see the supernatural. Because the God who can cause a whale to come about in the middle, which we didn't see before because that was his prayer, is the same God who sends us out for the commission and says, "Go and share the gospel. Demonstrate my I am with you. I am is with you." Turn to the person next to you and say, "Yahweh is with you." He's with you. Jesus is with you.
Jesus.
The unchanging Christ is with us. Thank you. And as somebody wonderfully prayed, Henry this morning, the Holy Spirit has not changed. He is in us, with us, for us, and there's a future as we go forward in him. Let's stand, shall we?